Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of In the Round with Andrew Taylor and Lee. We have got a great show planned for you today, a really interesting topic. But first, let me introduce you to the former tax advisor for Richard M. Nixon, Lee Tonin. Lee, how are you doing today, man? We were gone for a little while, huh?
It has been a while. What have we been off now? About 3 weeks?
Again, man, I think we did this last time before the Christmas special.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of lazy bums, dude.
Yeah, it's definitely great to be back here in the studio with you and doing the show, and a happy new year to everybody, to you and everybody out there.
Good idea.
And take a moment to say God bless everybody.
God bless America.
And God bless America. And to take a second and remember all the ones we lost last year, and hopefully this will be a better year.
You know, we lost some pretty big people last
2020
year.
2020 stunk.
As far as show business goes, man, damn.
Just in general, stunk.
God bless it.
Good to be out of that dumpster fire. Hopefully, maybe we're seeing some light at the end of this tunnel that's not a speeding Amtrak, man.
Right? If it's anything, it's got to be that.
Yeah.
So, normally, you know, we had to go off and take a little break for Christmas and all that. We did our Christmas special. We went down to Miami, Florida, right,
awesome.
Lee? And bad Miami, you know, last dance on the yayo.
Yes, sir. Every time I think of Miami, I think of that lady singer. What's her name? Gloria Estefan. Esto be my love. And I want to take a second here for Andrew and I to congratulate his brother, my oldest son, David, and his new blushing bride,
Slap
Taryn.
Slap him in his bald headed.
Yeah, I go there. I don't mock bald people.
I got plenty of hair.
People in glass houses shouldn't throw bottles.
Hey, but real talk, thank you to my brother David and his wife Taryn. Mm-hmm. Taryn Tonin now.
Taryn Tonin.
You know, so
her initials are TNT.
That's pretty badass.
That's pretty cool.
So, but anyways, congrats to them, and thanks to Vance and Nicole for having us down there.
Oh yeah,
and all that. My mom, Tanya,
everybody.
All right, so let's get right into it, guys. We're going to go right into the news segment here. First story, headline reads, Cat reunited with owner after 11 days in airport ceiling.
Ooh.
January 8th, a cat escaped from her owner at a security checkpoint in New York's LaGuardia Airport. Was returned to the distraught traveler after spending 11 days hiding in the hub's ceiling. So, this lady was in the process of moving from New York to Orange County, California. What a weird way to go.
Yeah, it's definitely, you don't see that very often.
Yeah, but she booked a Christmas Eve flight for herself and her 6-year-old cat, Muji.
Ooh, Muji.
TSA agents had to remove Muji from her carrier at the security checkpoint, despite her despite the cat not wanting to get out of the goddamn bag.
I get this. I don't understand. Why would you have to take it out?
Well, you know, exactly. So
I think that cat might be keistering some drugs or something.
Might be. Maybe that's why he was getting all panicky, huh?
Cat was paranoid.
So Muji panicked as she had predicted and led the owner and airport staff on a chase that ended when the cat climbed up a series of platforms to a ceiling enclosure and disappeared inside. So this lost and found group on Facebook got word of his, you know, him bailing, and they became involved and arranged for a tracking dog to visit the airport to find this cat.
Jesus.
So, yeah, it sounds like a lot of work, but
I think kitty would have become an airport kitty.
Yeah, it would help with the rodents and stuff. But the dog, a golden retriever named Abby, indicated Muji was still in the ceiling. And the owner caught a flight back to New York. She attempted to lure the cat out of the ceiling, but the cat didn't emerge. Finally, 11 days after the cat had fled from security, they had fucking caught the cat in a trap, you know, and all that. And the cat was taken to the hospital in Long Island and was reunited with their owner.
Man, talk about a hassle. I wonder who paid for the flight back.
I don't know.
I guarantee she did.
Yeah, why? It's not the TSA's fault. Yeah, you're traveling with your pet.
Yeah, I don't get the whole pets on planes things, but okay. I get it that she's moving. She's got.
Why didn't you just have the cat doped up?
Well, you know what? I wonder is there a service that you can pay somebody money to like say, hey, look, I'm going to move from New York to Orange County.
Probably.
And I got this 6-year-old cat, and I don't want. Can you just say ship it for me?
There's got to be a way to do it.
Yeah, if anyone knows, I'm curious because I never
thought of that.
I see a lot of these pages on Facebook about people moving out of California and others are moving to Arizona. There's a lot of Facebook pages, and a lot of them are always bringing up stuff about, hi, I'm leaving, you know, Los Angeles, and I'm moving to Gilbert, and I've got 7 dogs.
Dope.
And it's like no, but I just it's kind of those things. I'm curious now. It brings up a question. I wonder if they actually have a service.
There's got to be.
Or maybe there's
something.
A niche in that market we should fill. Pet transporting
business, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, so moving on right along to the next news story here. This is a good one. I think you'll like this one. Headline reads: David Hasselhoff.
Oh,
yeah, no, that's good. This is good. Well, I guess it could be good or bad.
Includes something good.
This could be good or bad.
The Hoff.
Yeah, the Hoff. He's auctioning off his kit car from Knight Rider.
Oh, why?
Yeah, so January 7th, they reported that the customized Pontiac Firebird Trans Am that portrayed David Hasselhoff's crime-fighting partner Kit in the 1980 series Knight Rider is being auctioned by the actor online. Hasselhoff took ownership of the black vehicle after the series run ended. So it's currently available on a website, liveauctioneers.com. So if you want to go place a bid on that, go ahead.
Say if he's doing it for charity or something, or...
We'll get there.
Hold okay. On.
The auction scheduled to end January 23rd had reached a high bid of $975,000.
Whoa.
As of Thursday afternoon, far exceeding the auctioneer's estimate of $175,000 to $300,000. Yeah. So somebody really wants this car.
Well, yeah.
Lot winner responsible for delivery expense if hammer price exceeds 25% above the reserve price. The Hoff will personally deliver the car to the new owner.
Oh, well, that's cool.
The actor is auctioning off a wide range of Hoffical merchandise, including a Baywatch pinball machine, a 14-foot model of Hasselhoff's body used in the SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
Yeah, I remember that scene in that movie, yeah.
So.
And so that you can actually own, because, you know, there had to have been multiple cars they used for
it. Sounds like the Hoffs need some money.
Yeah, that's sad. I can't imagine that guy being broke with all the work he did, man.
I know, man. Shitty investments.
You know, it's funny,
stuff.
Just
who
not
knows?
To get too take up too much time or get too far off the subject. I saw a little stint on him on the internet a couple days ago.
Good or bad?
No, it was good. He is like a very famous musician.
Yes.
In Germany.
Yes.
In Europe, and he has opened. He has had bands like the Scorpions open for him.
Wow.
And Pantera, I believe it said. They said that he was doing this festival with all these bands playing, and he was like second to the headliner.
Wow.
So you had Pantera, the Scorpions come on stage before David Hasselhoff.
I have to check this out.
You might want to do some fact checking these days. I may have made it up. But, you know, I might have embellished it a little bit, but I'm pretty sure that's what it said. Actually, I didn't read the article.
Yeah, so more lies. Great. Next headline here. This is on January 6th. Police find reported severed foot was a mannequin part.
Oh, that's good. That's some comforting news.
So a Canadian police officer investigating a witness report of a severed foot at the side of the road made a considerably less alarming discovery. It was just a discarded mannequin foot. Why is this important, you ask?
Why? I'm dying to know.
Do you have something to share with the class, Amazing Larry?
Yeah, do you have anything to add to this story that would be beneficial? Try to have a point when you tell a story. It makes it more interesting to the guys listening.
Not really. So the Delta Police Department in British Columbia said an officer on foot in Ladner was stopped by a passing driver. The driver appears quite distraught and states that there is a severed foot roadside by the pump house.
Ugh.
The officer said that he went to the location and discovered the object was luckily not a human body part, but rather the foot of a mannequin. So if you happen upon a mannequin with a missing left foot, let them know that it can be found at the Delta Police Department.
What was Paul McCartney's wife's name that was missing the foot?
Got a left shoes. Got a lot of left shoes.
priceless, unused.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is, you know, the Canadians typically drink whiskey for breakfast. So I could see where the confusion
maple
felt.
Syrup.
Yeah, maple syrup and whiskey.
We actually have a lot of listeners in Canada.
Oh, and they're great people. Thank you, Canada. We love Canada.
Some of the nicest people
you
ever meet.
I, if there's ever a war and I'm going to get drafted, I'm running there.
Here's the next story here, guys. This is January 5th, actually, so 4 days ago. Jeweler breaks record with 12,638 diamonds set in one ring.
Whoa.
This is on January 5th, like I said. A jeweler in India broke a Guinness World Record when he set 12,638 diamonds in a single ring. Harshit Bansal, founder of Ranani Jewels in India, said he was studying jewelry design in 2018 when he started considering attempting the Guinness record for most diamonds set in one ring. His company has now unveiled the Marigold, also known as the Ring of Prosperity, which features thousands of natural diamonds. And he is quoted saying, "My target has always been more than 10,000 diamonds. I trashed many designs and concepts over the years to finally zero in on this one." Guinness certified the ring as a record breaker where the diamonds were officially counted at 12,638. The previous ring record was from India's Hallmark Jewelers with 7,800.
He didn't only beat the record, he crushed it. Yeah,
absolutely.
No, I never understood how that works, because like people say I have eight diamonds and I look at a ring, it's like it looks like a diamond.
Yeah, like one big one.
Yeah, and so to have like over 12,000.
Is that like little tiny microscopic?
I got a buddy in California probably buy that ring.
Right? Linder. This is all you, man.
Sick Dave.
Yeah.
Got your new piece. Swag.
The Monopoly man. You need a monocle now, dude.
He likes his gold.
Shout out to David Linder.
Gold member.
Yeah, down in Whittier, California. All right, guys. Let's go. We got one last news story here, and then we'll be headed to the break. So, headline reads, man files lawsuit over Hawaiian rolls not actually being made in Hawaii.
I read that.
I love Hawaiian rolls.
King's
delicious.
Hawaiian rolls.
King's Hawaiian rolls are delicious.
Portuguese bread.
Yeah, exactly. So December 31st, just one last one for 2020, right? A New York State man filed a class action lawsuit against the makers of King's Hawaiian sweet rolls, alleging the company misled him into believing the California manufactured sweet rolls are made in Hawaii. This guy.
Well, first of all, they're made in California, and I believe there's another bakery in Massachusetts that makes them.
Right on.
To cover the East Coast of the country.
Hey Robert of Yonkers, that's suing these guys. It's called production.
Well,
supply and demand.
This is why we're in one of the states or the situations in this country or this world we are today. Real quick, new or flash to you here: 70% of all practicing attorneys in the world. Mm-hmm. Practice in America.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so practice law in America.
Here's the thing. Robert Galinsky of Yonkers said in his lawsuit against King's Hawaiians that the packaging prominently features Hilo Hawaii on the front, but the back reveals that they're actually made in Torrance, California. Galinsky said that the packaging misled him into purchasing the product, believing the rolls to be made in Hawaii. The lawsuit states the company is the leading seller of Hawaiian rolls and essentially invented this category of food. And cites the incidents of the company taking legal action against other manufacturers for using the phrase Hawaiian rolls in marketing. The King's Hawaiian website states the rolls were created by Robert Taiara in the 1950s when he opened Robert's Bakery in Hawaii. So the company was renamed to King's Bakery when it later expanded to Honolulu, and the business eventually closed to Torrance, dude. So they moved everything to California.
So I mean,
this is
they were origined in Hawaii, and they're actually Portuguese sweetbread, is what it is.
Here's the thing: is King's Hawaiian hasn't even responded publicly to this.
Why would
yet.
They? Yeah,
and it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, this is the same.
But
it's just another frivolous, misabuse of the justice system.
Here's the thing: well, there is no justice system, but. Here's the thing. It's a legal system.
Yeah, it's a legal system.
That's the thing people have
what
to discern
between. What these guys
do
is they sue and hope somebody will give them some go-away money.
Get out of there, Dude, you know what King's Hawaiian really had that I remember? I can't remember which driver it was. They had a badass drag car,
they did.
Dude.
One time they used to sponsor a funny car.
It looked really orange and black and all that. Was badass.
And
looking.
You know what? I've been eating that
stuff. I think it was
Roland
Leong. I
think you're right, yeah. And they've been around as far as I can remember, and there's a big Portuguese population in Hawaii, so
absolutely.
That's where those, my family members used to make that bread and still do.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. I remember it being around. I even remember getting the loaf of it.
You know, the way it's really supposed to be done is they make it into a loaf, and in the center of the loaf, there's an egg.
Okay, that makes sense.
But I'm not a fan.
Not
privy of that. So I don't.
Going back to my Lost Boy days, not a fan.
Not a fan here, man.
All right, guys.
Had one once, won't have it in my house.
Yeah. All right, guys, stay tuned. We're going to take a short musical break, and we will be right back with more of In the Round with Andrew Taylor and Lee. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back. right, folks, welcome back. It is time for Just the Facts. We do this every episode.
Dun, 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 dun. Just the facts, man.
Yeah, like Dragnet, just the facts, man. So we got some really...
God bless Jack Webb.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. TV legend. We great shows. Adam 12 Emergency. We go on about this all day long.
All good stuff.
So Just the Facts segment. Here's our first one right here. Out of the millions of creatures on Earth, humans are only one of three species capable of laughter. Did you know that?
I didn't know there was other ones that could.
The other two being chimpanzees and rats.
Rats laugh?
That's what they claim.
They laugh at me all the time.
Yeah, right? Chimpanzees.
I'm so low, I got
We're
a rat.
We're not far from those things, man.
No, because if you look, I would imagine they don't consider dolphins laughing.
I don't know. That's
everyone
the
puts
thing.
A dolphin on a pedestal, man.
Yeah, well, you know, that dolphins are
that's
scary.
That's a whole nother story about the dolphins here.
Trust those shifty motherfuckers.
If they're so smart, why are they living in igloos?
So... yeah, I thought that was really interesting. Yeah. I thought hyenas laugh too, don't they?
They're, yeah, technically, obvious that's not considered a chuckle or whatever.
I guess not.
Man.
So that's more of a, what do you call that? What's another word for laugh?
A groan?
Yeah, I guess. I guess.
A scream for help? I don't know. A self-defense mechanism? Hey,
this next fact is kind of going to lead into what the topic we're going to talk about today, uh-oh, but we won't delve into it too much. This is just really funny, and I've heard about this before. Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, I remember him.
Everybody knows him. Yeah, rest in peace. Once threw a party for time travelers on June 28th, 2009. But he only announced the party the next day. So nobody showed up.
Oh, yeah. I see what they did there. Yeah. Yeah, if you want to come to my party, fly back to next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Travel
if
back
it's
to
real,
next Tuesday.
Yeah. You'll be here.
That's right.
So,
oh my God,
that's just
boy, that guy had a quirky sense of humor.
Yeah, that's just a hint of what we're going to be talking about today.
No, it's too late.
Yeah. So the next one here, do you ever been curious to try like space food? You know what I mean, like what they take up on the space shuttles with them. Have you?
Yeah.
What kind?
Tang.
Really?
Yeah, Tang.
Well, just
Tang.
Powdered.
They brought Tang on the.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Tang was invented for the space travelers.
And kids, he's talking about the drink Tang, not the other stuff.
Well, I wouldn't go down that dirty hole there. That dirty wormhole.
Yeah, you have to. You left it open.
But no. I have had stuff. When my brother was in the Marine Corps, he used to bring home the K rations.
Yeah.
Or what they call them, C rations. I don't remember. And that stuff had shelf lives, and it was gross, but it was fun
out.
To eat when we were little.
This fact, astronaut ice cream, a freeze-dried staple in any space museum's gift shop, right, has never been into space, technically.
Okay.
Although commissioned for NASA, it never actually made any journeys.
Into any of the missions.
Which is really weird.
I've seen it.
Really?
Yeah, I was at the Kennedy Space Center a few years ago in Florida.
And they had some?
And they had it in the... Now that you mention it, there was actually quite a few things in there you could get. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think of like that dehydrated food order. I think of the very first vacation movie when Clark's drinking the 20-year-old milk.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I always wondered how that stuff was as a kid seeing it. You're like, oh, that's great. And like when you watch people, when they wring water out in space,
that's amazing.
Crazy, dude.
Yeah, when that thing you showed me a while back with the people, the live cams in the space station, that's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The way of life is just, you know, it's truly
amazing. Sex thing they were doing about how you can't do sex in space, which is, it's just weird.
Yeah. No, it's what you think, you know, it crossed somebody's mind in the beginning.
It was the first thing that comes across most people's mind.
You know,
that probably going to the bathroom then getting laid.
Yeah, basically. The next fact we have here, and this is crazy, dude. Talk about some brutal punishment for what this guy did. I mean, and punishment's punishment. Don't commit the crime if you can't do the time. I guess, right?
I'm curious to see where this is from.
this is from like India or something like that, right? So a thief was force-fed 48 bananas after being caught stealing a gold chain. The police ordered the bananas in and waited until the crook could excrete the gold chain.
Oh, they were just trying to recover their merchandise.
But that was the
punishment,
too.
Oh, what a horrible way.
Eat these 48 bananas in a row and then probably poop your brains out.
Oh, I could not. If you sat here with a $500 and said, Lee, eat 10 bananas or... I don't think I could. I like bananas. I just don't ever eat them.
I could eat about two of them.
Maybe. Probably two, maybe three. But after that, it would be like, I can't do this anymore, man.
That's
heavy.
A, That's a pretty bad punishment.
At least they let him live. If he lived, he survived it.
And they waited for him to poo. Like,
well, I've heard of them doing that before with like people that, you know, people will go into actually, I've heard where people have gone in jewelry stores and swallowed rings and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, man. How crazy are you to do that?
Anytime there's a room for something stupid to happen, it'll happen, man.
At some point it will happen.
Yeah, it's Murphy's Law.
So this very last fact that we have for the segments really is a lighthearted one, pretty funny. It's about our friends over in Sweden. We got some Sweden listeners out there recently. Right, we appreciate it, guys. Thanks for listening.
IKEA.
This one's for you guys. The people of Sweden love Donald Duck so much, they had to make voting for him illegal in their elections.
Because people kept writing
him on
the ballot.
They kept writing Donald Duck in, man. It's like Mickey Mouse here. They do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. They always have that crazy people that get out there and write some name in there. But that's funny, though. I wonder what the appeal is to the Swedes with Donald Duck. If anybody in Sweden is listening and you have an answer for that, let us know. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's awesome because I out of all the animated duck characters, he's my second favorite animated duck.
Yeah. Daffy's.
I love Daffy
Number
Duck.
Number one, yeah, absolutely.
But I love Donald, too. I do love Donald.
Absolutely. All right, guys, we are going to take another short little musical break here, so stay tuned. We'll be right back after this little bit of music, and we'll come back with the topic of the day. Welcome back, folks. We are back. Let's get right into the topic of the day here. Today, we are talking about time travel. Now, necessarily, we're not scientists or anything like that.
Oh, we're not?
We don't really, you know, this is just a couple of guys are going to talk about time travel. We don't really know. We're not going to get into the super technical side of anything like that. So, time travel.
I've done all this prep work for nothing.
Oh, man. You're bringing in the whole lab and stuff.
I've got graphs. I've got PowerPoints. What's going on
Slides
here?
Slides and shit. So here we go, guys. Time travel. The first question I'm going to ask you, Lee, is what would you choose, future or past? If you were going to go anywhere, time travel was possible, no stipulations, none of that shit, what are you doing?
I brought this up to you the other day. I would probably choose future.
Okay.
For the simple fact that I've already lived the past.
Okay.
You know?
Fair enough.
In my own personal timeline.
What I mean. Yeah, yeah.
And the only thing ever since I was a little kid I've ever been interested in about time travel, mm-hmm. other than seeing what happens in 50 years, is I'd like to go time travel to the point where I die.
Okay. Why?
You know what I mean? Because I'd like to see when and how it happens and I could come back and I don't know if
and
I want
that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
fuck that.
Like if you said, I'm going to time travel, say, what's today, January 9th, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to time, and I'm a little older than most of you, but if you say, I'm going to time travel to January 9th, 2051, there's very strong possibility I'm not going to be alive anymore, you know? 2022, maybe. I don't know.
You never know,
dude. Yeah, nothing's promised. But I just kind of like to go back and kind of like scale back and say, okay, in 2051, I'm not here. 2041, I'm not here. 2031, I'm here. So then I can, it narrows it down to where I can go and then I can look. And that's kind of the only thing with time travel I've ever really
had. You actually want to see how you die?
Not so much how. I mean, that definitely would, you know, I would have to look. But
really?
I mean,
oh man, fuck that. I wouldn't even want to look.
Well,
dude.
See, that's a lot of things that people say. They say they don't want to know the time and place. And I'm not, I'm not saying I do, because this is such a hypothetical situation.
Yeah.
But that I would probably, if I was only granted one way to do it, they say you can only go. You can either go back
one
or
way
forward.
Or the other. Yeah.
Yeah, I would probably pick forward.
Okay.
You know,
that's pretty crazy. I'm torn between the two, because I really would like to see what the future holds and what it looks like for stuff, just not for just for myself, just for America in general, mankind, exactly. Yeah. You know, just to see where things are at and all that, music, entertainment, all that. I think it's going to be kind of weird. But past too, because I would love to go back to like concerts and shit like that.
Oh,
and
yeah,
hang
if you were taking tangible things that you could see.
But that's
what
I'm saying. Like, there's no stipulations or rules. It's just like, hey, I'm going to go back in time and maybe cross paths with some people like down the road. You know?
Yeah, I think it would be awesome. Like it to, it's because it opens up such a wide variety or
endless possibilities.
That's just like, because you know what else would be really cool to do is to kind of like Bill and Ted it.
Yeah.
You know, like go back
to different
and,
historical events.
And grab a guy.
Yeah.
And say you go
dude,
back.
You gotta come see this.
Say you go back to 1965 or something and you grab Andy Warhol.
Yeah.
Or somebody like that.
You're never going to believe this. Yeah.
Or, you know, if you want to be a political leader or a business, you know,
you
mogul
go and
or
grab
something.
JFK or something, and, you know, or whatever the case.
Yeah. You know? That it's like I said, with that whole wormhole that you can get into. But I think it's like it'd be neat to go to like grab one of the founding fathers and bring him to America
just
today.
See what it's
and say this is what your invention turned out to be, and see where they stand on it, saying this is pretty good that it evolved this way, or just you guys got this all wrong, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then if you were going to do that, why not go back to the birth of Christ and grab him?
Yeah.
And say, hey, look, we're in. You know, he probably already knows, but you could.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the thing.
Like I said, there's so many things that you could. That you know,
I would like to go to things like I said. I would be like at movie premieres. And
okay.
Concerts and
how
stuff
about,
like that.
Let me ask you this. If you had the opportunity to travel back in time and you could pick an event, what would be the number one event that you'd want to go to?
Well, see, and that I had that question on my list too, and I try to think about it really hard, because there's people have done different stories on this and stuff, obviously. Everybody's got their own, you know. I don't know. Like, historically wise, I don't know what I would want to go see, you know? The assassination of JFK would be pretty crazy to be at, you know, just to see the event unfold in real time.
You know, knowing that you have the knowledge this is
going
to happen.
This is
going to
go down, you know?
And
you can't interfere, you know?
That's
you're not
that
supposed
whole basis
to,
of that Stephen
you know?
King book.
Well, yeah, and that show. And
well, yeah.
So, which is a great show, 11/23/63, great. But I don't know, man. I think... Historically, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't pick one.
It's
event.
A lot. There's a lot of events.
Okay, how about like not an event? Say you get to go back and experience something, a good memory in your own life. What would you?
Yeah, I don't know. It depends, because how do you do it too? You know,
how do
can
you pick it?
Can you be seen?
See, that's another thing. Are you going to wander into your other self?
You know, yeah, and be like, oh shit, you're not supposed to see me.
And that's why there's so many plots. Holes in the whole
in
theory.
Time travel theory,
and
yeah,
I don't know
absolutely.
If time travel is actually even plausible. You know, some people argue that it is,
and some people say
and
no
people
way.
Say there's once time is gone, it's finite.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
past.
It's and then the future isn't written.
Yeah,
where people say you know it's predestined or whatever.
Yeah, predetermined.
But there's so many variables. Like take the Buddy Holly plane crash with the guy with Waylon Jennings.
Yeah.
And there's an episode of The X-Files that kind of deals with the guy. Remember that one where he talks? He goes, his whole
life,
living or dying
life
came down to the flip of a coin.
A coin toss. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where you kind of go like, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know if maybe it was destiny for Kennedy to be killed for the events. You know, I don't know. It's just kind of, you know.
They always say there's a plan, you know, and no one really knows. That's the thing.
Well, if you talk to people that follow religious followings, they say, you know, there is, you know, God has a master plan. This is all part of the master plan.
Now, also, too, like in that show with James Franco, that Stephen King one, absolutely. Does the past know you're there?
In the show, it did.
You
it was
know,
always trying to
get
to,
rid of
it. What was the name of it? You said the name.
11/23/63.
Yeah, we recommend that.
Yeah, absolutely. So
and it was a book to begin with. So if you don't like movies, read the book.
So I think it's really, really weird. Like you know, I don't know. I just think it's there's so many variables that come into play on it. Now, that's why I try not to put any stipulations on the actual
I don't want to get ahead of you on your question, so go ahead and follow your list. But I have a question I want to ask you, and if it's not on your list, I'll ask you.
So, you know, obviously went through that. You already kind of did the pick an event in time. What would it be? But here's another question I want to pose. Would you go and try to see family or old friends or anything like that at any point?
No.
You wouldn't want to go?
Make contact with
them? Maybe not make contact, but would you go like from a distance, go by your old house you grew
absolutely.
Up in and see, see you guys hanging out or something?
That would be a memory to that I'd want to see my whole
you guys
alive
hanging out
family
at the happening curb
on
or
a son, maybe my old friends or some lover, or whatever the case may be.
Go to your school and see you hanging out
but
whatever.
I think it would be, honestly, I think it would be very, very
depressing. No, I get it,
Because there's things, it's kind of like memories. I always live like, a lot of people think of their lives as being a motion picture. Like, but it's, to me, I've never thought of it that way. I've always thought of people's lives and my own in general as being a photo album.
Yeah.
A bunch of still photos of different periods of your life.
Yeah.
Because it's just not fluid. And that's why, like, so many people at the end of their lives may have done really good things or really bad things. And it tends to be the last quadrant or the last section of their lives are what people remember about them.
Yeah.
You know, they say he was a great this or that, or your guy turned out to be a real piece of shit, you know, and they can't go. And there's so much more in the whole picture book that people don't know. Now, it could be bad all the way through. It could be good, bad, good, bad. I mean, it can skip around, but that's to go back and see that. I probably would, if I had the ability to do it, I probably would.
Yeah, no, I'd like to go see, you know, maybe go see, you know, family or friends or whatever. Not personally talk to them, but from a distance, you know, observe.
Yeah.
You know, just see, for a moment, a brief moment.
Yeah, and
maybe.
I'm hoping that's what heaven's like.
You know, yeah, absolutely. But also, I think, I also think, too, I can see from the depressing side of it, too, where it's like, the past is the past for a reason, and time is supposed to heal stuff like
that. Well, what happens in grieving, you know, when you say you lose somebody,
everybody does.
Is you grieve, you know, that there's, you know, I don't remember what the steps of the grieving thing is, but, you know, hopefully you get, you know, past that, and then your memories get kind of more euphoric.
Yeah.
You know, you go, oh, I remember this guy, he was a good guy, and all
absolutely,
that. And, you know,
yeah.
You don't want to try to dwell on the
on any
stuff.
Of the negative,
and I think going back and doing that, it might steer up, and then you definitely don't want to contact anybody.
Oh yeah,
because you would scare the shit out of them, and you think of the chaos. If you think having an extraterrestrial would freak people out,
have
a fucking guy come back from 40 years ago, you know. Especially, there's just no way to comprehend it. You would have religious people going nuts, going, this is the rapture.
Well, here's the thing,
you know, the
too.
Dead live.
You bring up a good point. Say if you went back and talked to one of your friends, you scar them for life and they're fucking freaked out. Just make them into a crazy person.
That's exactly what they would be looked at. Yeah. If you couldn't get out.
I saw him from the future.
And you know what? That always, you know, a lot of people say stuff like, you know, I lost this friend or this family member or this loved one, and I see it in something else, like my cat or something, see it in, you know, this other, in it, you know, and that's fine. Whatever it does to make you feel better, more power to you.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And I'm not saying it's wrong or right or anything. I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't have any of the answers, man. But I just think that you would turn civilization on its head.
You know, there was always the theory, and this is really weird, and I thought this, I remember watching this one time. They claim that the Nazis were trying to get a handle on time travel.
I remember that. You know? You tell me about that.
Yeah. And I always thought it was a really weird thing. Let's see if we can pull up some stuff.
You know, that's weird that you bring up the Nazis, because they seem like they were kind of, with all the bad stuff they did, and they were bad.
Yeah.
It didn't start off that way. You know, I think there was a lot of very brilliant scientists and stuff that worked for that regime that, you know, had, I don't think that was always this terrible, you know, that it turned into.
Yeah, and there's been books written about this and stuff.
Yeah.
But they legitimately, I believe, were trying to figure out a way to comprehend it and actually make it.
Try to get a handle on possible.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, which is crazy, because think about it. If it were possible, and if those, that would have been the people to do it, how dangerous that could have been.
Well, that could be, you could be said about any government or regime in the world.
Anybody, yeah.
Yeah, anybody that came up with this technology first would win. Mm-hmm. There's no way to beat it. It'd be like the scenario on Back to the Future.
Yeah, exactly.
You know where the guy gets the sports
almanac.
Book?
Yeah.
You know, the sports almanac is what
starts,
he gets.
Starts killing it.
Or what's the movie where they have the hot tub time machine? Yeah. If you had knowledge of futures, they federally prosecute people for knowing stuff about companies. Like, hey, we're going to announce a new product and it's going to make our stock go crazy. Yeah. Or, hey, our accounting has been messed up for 5 years and it's finally going to, like they did at Enron or you know, some of the other bigger ones that failed, you know, in the crashes.
Yeah.
And that's stuff that's written on paper. That's people's predictions that are just going like, hey, it's not like future knowledge or anything like that. That's like saying, hey, I can predict the next 10 Super Bowls.
Exactly.
You know, and there's people that claim they can, but I mean, it's yet to be proven.
It's funny you bring up Back to the Future because that movie alone, because it touches on time travel, it's all around it. Here's my thing. How did they not know like Marty didn't look like Calvin? Like, did the dad just all of a sudden forget,
that's brought that up, and I've seen some stuff written about that. But you now, of course, in context, you have to take it that this is a movie, man.
I know, but
you're absolutely right. How come, you know, when how much would it freak you out when Marty McFly tells the future parents,
oh, yeah,
like, hey, when the kid burns down the rug, and then it freaking happens.
Yeah.
You know, and you would, because that whole ordeal would be engraved in your head.
You would remember all of that.
Yeah, you would remember stuff like that.
You would remember this hanging out with this kid in high school.
It was a huge event in your life.
He fucking saved Lorraine. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He made them come together. Yeah. Every detail of that
revolves around him.
Would be that relationship would be set in your mind like stone.
Biff tried to rape me.
Yeah. And I love that comedian's routine about, well, he's going to go back and try to screw his mom. It's, well, he doesn't get to, but
yeah. You know. There's so many plot holes you could drive a semi truck through.
But that's one of those things where you can't be a stickler for.
And like I said, my whole deal with time travel would be mainly to go back in time to enjoy concerts and stuff like that. Maybe, you know, another thing that I always thought would be really fucking cool to do is, like, if you're a car guy like we are, I would go back in time and buy a warehouse and just start funneling cars in there and sit on them, dude.
No, my whole
I'd have a racket all put together.
My whole motivation for traveling back in time, if I did that, would be for financial gains.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
There was actually a really good episode of the Twilight Zone one time where the guy did that.
Yeah.
And he was a very wealthy man. He had to give up all his wealth to travel back in time. And he did it. And he went back and he was buying all the, because he knew. He goes, this is going to happen. And I know how to, you know, and I don't remember how it all turned out because I'm not very smart. But it was the Twilight Zone. It didn't work out good.
Yeah, obviously. He's in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, but like I said, I don't know. It's one of those kind of things where one of the things I love about the show Family Guy is the fact that the little baby Stewie
can time travel.
Has a time machine.
Yeah, he built it. Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, and then I like the way they incorporate that into it, because the show is basically kind of a reality based on a family in New England, you know?
But then they
kind of go off with a talking dog, which is understandable. They have a talking dog.
Yeah, it's a cartoon, yeah.
But then they have this time travel, and it's just kind of like, it works for that situation, man.
Absolutely. And they always get into some weird scenario.
Yeah, and they bring up a lot. And you know what? It was the episode where the South Park did a beautiful episode on the time table. I think it was the Gooback episode, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So where it was people from the future that didn't have jobs and stuff, man, that were coming back, and, you know, it was. I mean, then they took and exploited it to where
did what South Park normally does.
But it was actually,
which is great, but
which it actually made more sense than Back to the Future or the Terminator or anything of that stuff. Which the Terminator is just Terminator Rose, which is just darn silly.
So. Do you have any final thoughts on this subject?
Yeah, I have a question I want to ask you.
Yeah, what's up?
If you were to pick, actually my question's in two parts.
Okay.
Question A.
Yeah.
If you were to pick a favorite, if you had to pick a mode of traveling back in time, what would you do? I mean, what would you think would be cool?
What would be the coolest mode of transportation?
It could be like an elevator or a car or a teleporter booth. Like they had in Star Wars, a phone booth like they had in
Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted. Yeah. And B, what is your favorite time travel movie?
Oh, man.
That has time travel in it. Or, you know.
Time travel movie, I'll answer that one first because that's, I don't know, I love Back to the Future and all that, you know, but that's a tough one, dude. Bill and Ted's pretty good. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Hot Tub Time Machine was good. I don't know, man. That's a tough one. Probably Back to the Future one.
All right. The first one.
Yeah, as far as the first part of your question goes, I think a cool-ass looking car, obviously. Maybe not the DeLorean or whatever.
You'd be like Austin Powers with the Cadillac.
That was awesome, dude, where he hit the hydraulics and took off and he went into back. You know, shit like that would be cool. Maybe a coffin.
Okay.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah, like you jump into it and just...
And now I'm going to answer my question with my own answer. And this is the way I can answer it with the same answer that on both A and B. Mm-hmm. My mode of doing it and my A Christmas Carol.
Oh, okay.
With,
snow globe or whatever
no,
it was?
No, they had the Christmas ghost of past, present. Now, I don't have to have three of them, but I don't want any kind of a vehicle or anything like that. I want to be approached by somebody that's a spirit or some entity. And it could just be one. Maybe it's my fairy godmother or whatever.
Whatever you want to call it.
And the reason I want, and my favorite time travel movie is Christmas Carol.
Okay.
But because it is a time travel movie.
Yeah.
You know, I want someone there with me. That can explain it to me.
With you?
Yeah. To explain it. Because if they were just to take and say they time traveled you back to Las Vegas 1992 right now and just dropped you in there, you'd be just as messed up as anybody that saw you would be. Because you'd be like, you have to have someone there to explain it to you.
No, because I get what you're saying, but also if they dropped you off at 92 or whatever, it'd be like...
Well, yeah, you'd be 2 years old or whatever.
I'm not even born.
Yeah, that's true. You'd be okay, say 90, I would know 99.
Where, the thing is, I would know where I was and shit, but like, because I grew up there, I know streets and stuff, but like...
That's why I would want my valet with me to say, look, this is what you can and you can't do.
Yeah.
You know? Perfect example would be like the episode of Married with Children when Sam Kinison was in.
Oh yeah,
was his guardian angel, and they pulled the Christmas Carol. Yeah. You know,
I'll go in and get my gun and a nice shiny silver bullet and rock in the
anybody New that has never seen anybody that's halfway a fan of Sam Kinison or Married with Children.
Yeah.
That to me was the greatest episode they ever did.
It's a great episode.
Yeah, I like at the very end when he tells him, he goes, you know, Pundy, he goes, I was sent here to show you. You know, that your life has meaning, that it has a purpose. He goes, I just can't find one gosh darn reason why you should live. And then Al figured it out himself. He goes, there's no way these people should be happy.
I like when he first gets there and he sees Bundy and he's like, no! Yeah. And then he opens the flask and pours it out. It's empty. And he's like, thanks a lot.
That is phenomenal. Hey, don't be a wish pig.
Yeah.
I'm not genie here.
All right, guys. It has been great to be back for this episode. You know, time travel, what a crazy thing. But Lee and I would like to take a moment to look back on a great year of this show. And actually hasn't even been a full year for us. We're going on about 10 months with this show. So as we say goodbye to 2020, let's take a moment to celebrate what this show has done and accomplished so far. So far, we have published 29 episodes. That's over 2,000 minutes of content for your ears, man. So take advantage of it. Everything is available all the time in the show archives. And, you know, check us out. Check Lee out on Facebook at Lee Tonin. Check me out on Instagram at Andrew Taylor Radio. And follow our show page on YouTube. All the episodes and the episode clips get uploaded to there. It's great stuff, man. Check it out. So in 2020, our most popular city was San Jose, California. Shout out to you guys for tuning in numbers, man, in droves.
Do you know the way to San Jose?
So, but we like to acknowledge all the listeners around the world, obviously. Over 100 cities and 20 countries, including France, Australia, Canada, the UK, Qatar, Russia, Peru, the UAE, Norway, South Africa, Guatemala, Mexico, Italy, Egypt, the Philippines, Sweden, Finland, Japan, and last but not least, Denmark.
Holy Denmark.
So we couldn't and wouldn't do this without you. Thank you for letting us into your lives to entertain you. We bid you a good night, and we will see you next time. Okay.